Hey, Bethel Church, so glad to see you once again as we continue our series on the greatest. And maybe this is your guys' first Sunday checking us out. I would really encourage you, go back on our website, check them out, because it's been great. But today I have the privilege of finishing our series on the greatest. And we've covered so much on this series. We've seen many of the aspects of love, and we've seen how dynamic love truly is. It's not just mushy-gushy feelings, but it's actually robust and beautiful and central to the life of all people in general, but believers especially. And the only way that we can truly fulfill all that love requires of us is by the power of God. Through the Holy Spirit, we are loved by God, and then we can have His love pour through us to other people. And today we're looking at how love doesn't give up when the going gets hard. Love perseveres, it pushes through no matter what. Love keeps going. And perseverance is keeping going when it's easier to quit. Perseverance only happens in the face of adversity or pain. No one talks about persevering through a big bowl of ice cream. No, but you do persevere through an early morning workout when all of your muscles are screaming, it's time to give up, you can't do anymore, and you just have to go, I'm going to do one more rep. That's what perseverance is. It's thinking that you can't keep going, but somehow you get the power to keep going. So perseverance as an aspect of love is tied closely with hardship and suffering. Those aren't very fun words, but it's part of what it means to actually love others. For love to persevere means loving others, even when doing so causes personal pain and personal hardship. And so it's truly sacrificial love. And of course, this is most displayed by Jesus when he walked towards and then died sacrificially on the cross. And even as he's being persecuted, even as he's experienced this pain, this humiliation, this shame, this worst possible death in an honor-based culture, he's continuing to love other people and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In the act of crucifying, he's being crucified, he's still asking the Father to forgive them. That's truly love that perseveres no matter what. And I love the way one of my daughter's Bibles calls it. This type of love is not giving up, never stopping, always and forever type of love. This is the love that gives human beings the ability to accept the grace and forgiveness and restoration of relationship that Jesus offers us. And so once again, our main passage for this comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And this is the famous love chapter that's often led at weddings, and it's always referred to just like that, the love chapter. And so it says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. And our main thing for this morning, always perseveres. Love never fails. And it's great that this is read at weddings, and I think it definitely applies to marriages, but it isn't specifically just about marriages. It's for love in all relationships. And as we've discovered through this series, love is so much more than mere feelings. It's not the mere feeling of being in love or not feeling like you're in love. It's not the Disney princess who falls in love with the handsome prince she meets in the woods and just starts dancing with, and then they get married all of a sudden. Or the guy coming across a sleeping woman in a Disney movie, and he kisses her and breaks her of the enchantment, which she didn't ask to be kissed. He didn't know she wanted to be. But anyways, that's a whole other topic. But it's not this Disney princess feeling, nor is it the Hollywood falling in or falling out of love. It's not just a mere feeling. Love is not something that one just falls into or feels. It's so much more than that. Love is actually about the character of God. And it's something that when we are at our best as human beings, we choose to show by participating in God's love for us and other people around us. Because we are made in the image of God. We are His image bearers. We're meant to reflect this. Love is actually part of our nature, to love others and to love God. But it's an active choice in this world to align ourselves with the selfless love of God rather than the inherent sinful nature, the selfishness of pride. So love itself is a choice. It's an action. We don't just love passively. Even in marriage, you might think that it's easy to love one another. People think that in marriage, once I get married, I'll just love my spouse perfectly forever. Well, you're not married yet. You'll figure it out. Sometimes it takes work. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to love your spouse or maybe your husband, especially if they're being a grumpy pants sometimes. Not that I would ever dream of being a grumpy pants when I'm not sleeping well because I have a newborn sleeping in my room who makes noises like a dinosaur in the night, or maybe a toddler or a child who wake up early and want to eat really early in the morning. But anyways, let's not keep talking about me. When we talk about persevering, can you ever think of a time you've had to persevere something good? Do you think like you have to persevere through this gooey plate of chocolate chip cookies, or this great meal, or this beautiful round of golf that you have to persevere? Well, maybe if you're golfing with me, it's a little bit of perseverance. Or maybe holding a newborn. Do you have to persevere looking in their cute little chubby face? Forgive me, I have a little bit of baby on the brain recently. No, we don't persevere through good things. What we persevere through is hardships. What we persevere through is difficulties. Good things we enjoy, hard things we have to persevere through. And can you think in your own life, maybe there have been times, maybe there have been seasons where you just had an experience where you truly just had to persevere. It's been really difficult, it's been really hard, and it seems like there's no end, and you've just had to keep going. And I've used this illustration before, but for myself, about 6 years ago, when I broke my leg with a six-month-old baby, it was our oldest at the time, our only one we had, but I had to persevere through that situation. It was quite a severe break, and I didn't know if I'd ever walk again. I certainly didn't know if I'd ever run again or do sports or anything, which I really enjoyed. And I had to persevere through that time. And my wife definitely did, as I was a grumpy pants, but that kind of situation I had to persevere through. But when we persevere through things, it actually grows us. But one definition of perseverance that I came across defined it this way. Perseverance is enduring in a course of action or belief. In its negative sense, it can mean being stubborn. In its positive sense, it means continuing commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, at one time or another, I may have been called stubborn. And I'm not really sure why, but it's usually said in an exasperated tone. And I don't really get why, but I've heard it said that our children can actually be mirrors and reflect our qualities back to us. And boy, does my wife really need to look at one of our children when they're stubborn one time. No, it's me. I see my stubbornness in my kids. And I do have a bit of an experience with stubbornness. And honestly, stubbornness can be good at some times. But I can't honestly say that my stubbornness is always done in the name of love. But perseverance instead actually is done in the name of love. And I don't know if any of you guys listening right now or later in the week, maybe you've noticed this before, and this is, I know it's an amazing observation, but sometimes life is hard. Have you guys, yes, no, hands up? Oh yeah, I can't see anyway, but that's okay. Sometimes it feels like it would just be easier to give up. Why do we keep trying? Why do we keep pushing? Especially, sometimes it's really hard to love other people. And you know, there's times, quite frankly, in my weaker moments where I would rather just be left alone, where I'd rather just pack up with my family, just move off to a cabin in the woods, or maybe just my wife sometimes, just off to a cabin in the woods and just hide from the world, because sometimes it's hard to show other people love. But that's not what love is. Love doesn't give up on others. Love doesn't give up when the going gets hard. Love doesn't give up when we experience pain. As parents, we don't stop loving kids just because they're yelling at us or waking up way too early or hitting each other or back-talking or be tyrannical little dictators and terrorists or anyways. No, that's not my kids, and it certainly wouldn't be yours or your grandkids or your friend's kids. No, but what we are called to do as parents and as people in general is to love no matter what. And loving others means loving them even if they hurt us. And I saw a tweet on Twitter a few weeks ago that defined love in a way that I think I really liked. But just as a warning, it isn't perfect definition, and it's not complete, but I like the idea that it expresses. It said, "Love is giving someone the power to destroy you and trusting they won't use it. I like that because when we love others, we actually have to give up a little bit of control and in many ways even open ourselves up to be a little hurt. And the only way to prevent this is to never open ourselves to love, to not truly live. But love actually perseveres even through pain. In fact, the writers of the New Testament, those who walk closest to Jesus and those whose faith and love for Jesus and others was so profound, even take it one step further. Jesus' own half-brother James wrote to the churches in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, and then skipping over to 12, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then skipping a few verses, he goes on to say, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know, James knew a secret. He knew a secret that sufferings and trials are actually redeemed by God to help us to learn perseverance and to grow in maturity. Put it differently, our trials, our hardships, our sufferings, God actually uses those to make us better, to make us more like his son Jesus. Just like a muscle that gets small tears in it when you're working out or going for a run or working on your golf game, when you have these little tears, the muscle regrows stronger. Just as our faith, as it's tested, we grow in our faith, we grow in perseverance as we experience hardships. And this season of COVID, maybe before this you didn't have a time where you could really point to a time you had to really persevere. This season of COVID has certainly been a test of our endurance, our perseverance, and of our faithfulness. It would be so easy to check out during this time in our faith, to just coast in our faith, and maybe just kind of put Jesus on the back burner during this time when it's inconvenient, when you can't go to church in the regular rhythm, when you actually have to do the effort of trying to follow Jesus. But instead, we're called during this time not just to endure, but to actually grow in our faith. And it's certainly not easy to persevere. I don't want to minimize this. But what God is asking us is to lean in on him, and he will help us through all circumstances. And the key ingredient to help us to persevere through suffering is actually hope. One of the marks of real faith is perseverance, and faith perseveres because it is sustained by hope. The thing that keeps us going when we want to give up is the ultimate hope that we have. And faith itself is hoping in something that is yet unseen. The Apostle Paul summarizes the life of faith by saying, "We walk by faith, not by sight." So we walk in this hope that God is who he said he is, that Jesus is powerful, that Jesus is able to do what no one else is able to do, that God is able to help us no matter the pain that we are going through. And we walk through this life with that faith, not because we see it, not because we know it for a certainty, but because we trust. Love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres. So love is able to persevere through hardships because we trust and hope in God's plan for us and ultimately for the world. So we put our trust in God who is with us and working in our situations, our hardships, for our good and for his glory. So genuine faith is a faith that keeps going, it perseveres because it's pushed and sustained by the hope that God is the one who calls believers to himself, and he will save us ultimately from our trials, from our persecutions, from our hardships, and we get to enjoy him for all eternity. But let's be real for a second. That's not what we see in this life. In fact, a lot of our experiences, a lot of what we see around us in the world, in the news, in our own lives with this COVID season, actually completely contradicts whatever hope we have for the suffering of our present existence. It would be really easy to see that hope is an illusion. But such difficulties are no different than those for those who have gone before us, those people of faith that have gone in the Bible before us. Just think of Abraham, if you're familiar with him. Abraham and Sarah, they were so old that they couldn't possibly have a child, and yet God gave them a promise that they would have a son. And yet, their circumstances, time went on, they were patient, and yet it didn't seem like it would happen. They started to doubt, they started to worry, and yet, even when he was almost 100 years old and Sarah was too old to build children, Abraham's faith persisted. His hope continued because it was based on God, not on his circumstances. He believed that God could do the impossible and that God would be true to his promise. If God said it would happen, it would happen. And it did happen. He had a son named Isaac with his wife Sarah. And so finally, for all of us, the final hope that we have rests not in our circumstances, not in the results, but on the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. We can trust and hope that our hope is grounded on Jesus' resurrection. And with this hope, we can cast ourselves on God through all our circumstances and hope on him through all of the ups and downs of life. Hope is an absolutely essential ingredient for Christian existence, since both our faith in Christ and our love for others is completely grounded in hope. Both faith in Christ and love for others requires hope, and hope is the root and endurance is the fruit of our faith. So since hope is essential to our existence in faith, Paul prays that all believers would grasp the hope of their calling in Ephesians 1:18. And during World War II, there were so many stories and so many illustrations of those who gave up hope and those who yet persisted somehow. And there was a man named Viktor Frankl who actually survived through 4 different Nazi death camps and the loss of his parents, his brother, and his pregnant wife, who he actually wrote a book about the meaning of life. And he noted when he observed others around him that the only difference, it seemed, from those who survived these death camps and those who died was that those who were living kept hope. They kept hope alive. They seemed to have a meaning and a purpose for their life that was beyond them. Their hope wasn't necessarily that their circumstances would change, but they depended on something other than themselves. They depended on something other greater than themselves to put their faith and hope on. And so in our hope and trust as Christians is put in Jesus. So then, if that's true, then the sufferings and the trials of this life are those which the Holy Spirit can actually use to form our character to be more like Jesus. And ironically, these trials themselves that are the things that we can look to and say, I shouldn't have any hope, I should give up. These are actually the things that God can use to make us have more hope. That these are the things that can make our faith stronger. In the middle of our trials and our pain, God can actually work out his salvation plan. And the reason that God's love allows us to persevere is because it's based on the hope that we have in Jesus. However, I have to say right now, if we haven't put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Jesus, then how could we possibly be expected to endure suffering? We can't. How could we be expected to love other people when it's painful or even inconvenient? How could we be expected to love our spouse when it's hard, when it's difficult, when they do things that hurt us? How can we be expected to keep with them and to keep loving them if we ourselves haven't experienced unconditional love? We can't. If we haven't accepted God's unconditional love for us, then we can't love other people unconditionally. It's that simple. That's why in order to love other people greatly, in order to love people with perseverance and all of the other characteristics we've covered, patience and kindness, all of these things, if we are to love other people in these ways, then the only way that we can do it is if we first understand that that's how God loves us, that God loves us so much that he sacrificed himself for us. That Jesus persevered the suffering and the persecution of the cross so that his love for us would never fail. So we may not be perfect in our love for others, and we may not love him perfectly, but his perfect love for us never disappoints. So if you want to know how to persevere through whatever hardships and trials come along in your life, if you want to know how to keep your faith, even when the circumstances around you are so bleak that you don't see any hope, How do you keep going when everything inside of you wants to give up? It's simple. You surrender. You give up, but you don't give up to the circumstances. You don't give up trying, but instead you give up to Jesus. You surrender yourself to Jesus. You give yourself over completely to him. And you know, this morning during our prayer time, someone talked about how we were going to be singing Surrender All. And we sing that song. It's a common song that lots of people who have been around church for a little while know. Maybe it's familiar to you, maybe not. But we talk about I surrender all. But sometimes we just surrender some. Sometimes we hold back some things from Jesus. But if we actually surrender everything to him, then we give up trying to do things in our own strength. And at that point, his strength is able to fill us. When we're at the end of ourselves, we realize, I can't do this, but God can. I'm having trouble loving my kids in this moment. I'm having trouble loving my neighbor. I'm having trouble loving my spouse. But God can give me the strength I need. That's what it takes. When you give yourself over completely to him, you stop trying to do everything in your own strength and just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and instead you seek his help. You cry out in desperation, and he will answer, and he will help you. That's what it takes. In order to stop giving up on loving others, you have to give up on trying to do it yourself. And as we've been looking at this love that Paul expresses in his letter to the Corinthians church, we've reiterated that the word love could actually be very easily replaced with Jesus' own name, because this love is about the character of God himself. So this is the Jesus version. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. That's what it's about. This isn't a list of things that we need to do. This isn't a check-off list that we check off as if they're tasks. These are characteristics of God who is love. This is the characteristics of Jesus. So if we want to make a difference in the world, if we want to make a lasting impact on those around us, on our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, our family, if we want to leave a legacy that lasts, then we need this love of God in our lives. We need to allow Jesus to shape our character to be like him, that he would enable this list to be qualities of us, as we have God's love pouring in and through us. So this all starts by putting our faith, hope, and trust in him completely, in surrendering all to him, turning ourselves over completely to him, giving him control of all of our lives, and trusting him without holding back. And you know, the reason that I like that one definition, that tweet that I shared earlier, is because that's actually what Jesus did when he came to earth. He loved us so much that he opened himself up to us, that he actually opened us up and gave us the power to destroy him. But instead of loving him in return, we killed him. He gave us the power to destroy him, and that's what we did. But even in the midst of persevering the pain of that act of sacrificial love, he conquered sin and death once and for all. That's love that never fails. That's love that perseveres. So how can we persevere when we're suffering for the sake of love? How do we keep loving other people when it's painful? We can simply because God gives us the power to do it. He walks with us and he shares the greatest part of the burden. He says his yoke is easy in his way. His yoke is easy. And so we follow after him. So as the one who loved us so much that he persevered even to the point of death and beyond the grave so that he could make a way for us where there was no way before, a way into life and to life abundantly, we can love others because he loves us no matter what. And so all we have to do is ask. When we recognize how much we need him, that's when we can truly start to begin. When we see the pain that he endured for our sake, then we too can suffer for the sake of others. We too can love others even when it's hard. We too can endure pain, hardship, and sorrow, and even death as we trust in him. Because death is not the end. It's just the beginning for those who love Jesus. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, but God does. I don't know, maybe you're very discouraged at this time. Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you feel like, what's the point anymore? But know that God loves you so much that he persevered and that you don't have to be strong enough because God is. Know that you have a Savior who loved you so much that he died for you. Know that he never gives up on you. Know that he never says that's enough. He forgives you. He loves you no matter what. Know and embrace that love. Now, would you please join me in prayer? Jesus, I thank you for the truth that is your love for us. That you loved us so much. That you made a way where there was no way. That you endured, that you persevered through all the pain and the suffering, through the humiliation, through the crucifixion, Lord. And you forgave those who are even cursing your name, Lord, so that you can forgive us no matter what we have gone through. Lord, may there be nothing that holds us back from you. If there's anything in our lives today, may we throw it at your feet and say, I'm done with that. I'm done with holding back. I surrender all to you, Jesus, because you're what we need. We need your love. We need to experience your grace that is new every day, Jesus. So thank you that you never fail. Thank you that you never give up on us. And Lord, help us to love those around us, not because it's easy, not because we always feel like it, but because of your great love for us. The greatest love that we can, beyond what we can imagine, Lord, that you can pour in and through us to the world around us. May we never be the same, and may the world never be the same as we know and experience your love. Perhaps for the first time today, perhaps for the millionth time, whatever it is, Lord, help us to follow you, Lord, and to love others as you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Now bless your people in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Bethel Church.